Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
So again, Jesus is greater than angels. Angels gave the Old Testament law. And so if I am looking at the Old Testament law and I understand that God judges and he requires obedience and there is a consequence to disobeying the Old Testament law, how much more am I going to be looking at the salvation that Jesus gave us, because that law was given through the mediation of angels, not through the mediation of Christ himself, but through the mediation of angels. And this salvation is given through Christ. You know, this whole thing about not drifting away is continuously taught in the New Testament. And one of the things that we run into, and especially in America, because America is a puritanical nation, and I mean that in the kindest sense of the word. The Puritans were people who actually loved Jesus and went for it. Okay? And so a lot of times puritanical means, you know, somebody who's just judgmental and that kind of stuff. And that was not the case with these people. These were actual followers of Christ, but they were highly Calvinistic. And one of the things that you need to know about the doctrines that come up in the Reformation is that they did not exist until the 5th century. So when you go through the early church fathers, and the early church fathers are pastors, the first ones started off being discipled literally by the apostles. And so when you go through the early church fathers, this whole thing with once saved, always saved, and Jesus dies for your sins, past, present, and future, and so therefore there's never a sin that can cause you to walk away from Christ or to lose your salvation, all of that kind of stuff that we hear routinely in our culture was never taught in the first 5 centuries. It was something that came up when a guy named Augustine was having a debate with a guy who was teaching works salvation. And you don't care about his name. I'm not going to give you all that stuff. But it's really interesting to me, probably not very interesting to you. His name was Pelagius. There, I can't help myself. Anyway, he was having a debate with this guy, and so he kind of went over the top on eternal or the election of God versus the free will of man. And Pelagius was coming from a point of view where the free will of man was in the forefront. And so Augustine just debated against him and left out God's or man's free will. Later on, not too long after that, the church modified that whole thing, specifically the Roman Catholic Church modified that whole thing. And you got what was called semi-Augustinianism. But the whole idea of Calvinism does not come from the teaching of the Bible specifically. The whole idea of Calvinism comes from the teaching of Augustine. And so what the Reformers did was they went back to Augustine, and I'm not picking on that guy either because he was a good guy, but they went back to the teachings of Augustine and they didn't go back necessarily to the teachings of the scripture. Jesus is the one who brought up the subject of not walking away from Jesus. It wasn't anybody else, it was Jesus. Let me give you a couple of passages. So one of the ones that I always quote from is in Matthew chapter 24. And in that passage, Jesus is talking about his return to bring believers home. And when he ends up that whole teaching, he gives this illustration of two servants. And this is in Matthew 24, verses 45 through the end of the chapter. It says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." And so, obviously, that's a good thing. So I want to be that servant, right? Then he goes on and says, But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Have you ever seen somebody fall away? Is that a good description? That's a good description for a lot of guys that I've known that have fallen away. He begins to beat his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, he will cut him in two. Want Jesus to cut you in two? Not me. Cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Who's that? Are those believers or unbelievers? Those are unbelievers. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know that every time Jesus talked about weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know what he was talking about? Yeah, it's talking about hell. Okay, so that second guy, I do not want to be the second guy. And that's the warning that's there. This is one of the warnings. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And in that passage, Jesus tells us where our power comes from. And he tells us actually where our life comes from. Jesus in John 15, verse 1 says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, the farmer. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you know this about grapevines and branches and trees and that kind of stuff. So one of the things, you know, I have fruit trees in my orchard. If I want to get big fruit, like I used to have peach trees, my peach trees have died. But if I want, you know, I love peaches. And if I want big peaches, what you do is you go out at the beginning of the season. It's going to happen in the not too distant future here. And you start plucking off the peaches, you know, the little peaches that are all clustered in there, and you leave peaches by themselves so that they grow and become bigger. You do the same thing with nectarines. It's pruning. And with vines, you prune the branches so that you get better fruit. And so God prunes you that you may bear more fruit. Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So I've got a grapevine. It's a Concord grapevine. If I want to go out and get a bunch of fruit on that Concord grapevine, I'm going to go out and prune certain branches off so I can leave these other branches to get most of the sap and get more fruit, right? And so those branches that I prune off, are they going to grow fruit? Are they? No. Why? Because they're not connected to the vine. Pretty straightforward, right? Okay, so I need to be connected to the vine. Who is? Jesus, right? I'm the vine. So he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, now let me talk to you about abiding. When you look at these, just imagine my grapevine again. When you look at the grapevine and these little branches that are coming off the main vine, do these little branches have little hands? Are they holding on to the main vine? No. Are they struggling at all? No. They're just growing out of the vine, right? And so there's no holding on. There's no danger of falling off. There is none of that. They're just part of the vine. And they're doing what comes natural for branches that are connected to the vine. You get that? And so when it says abide in that passage, all the word abide means in the Bible is don't move. That's all it means. Doesn't mean hold on. Doesn't mean be strong. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means don't move. So abide in me and I in you. There is no work involved there. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So there's a key to having a victorious Christian life. It's by abiding in Christ, making sure that you are in the same place that Jesus is, making sure that you don't move. And what I mean by don't move is have the exact same attitude you had on the day that you got saved. You have the same heart towards the Lord that right now that you did on the day that you got saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for the fact that you would die for me. Thank you for the fact that you would love me. And hopefully what's happened over the years is that's just deepened and gotten broader. And you've grown in your connection to the Lord. That's the way that that's supposed to be. It's never the kind of thing where you decide that, okay, I don't really need the whole loving Jesus stuff anymore. I can just go to church, read a Bible every once in a while. Maybe not even read my Bible, but, you know, just kind of cruise along. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being connected to the vine. And so a lot of times what is happening in a Christian's life is they're not seeing fruit, for example, and they go, I need to work harder to bear fruit. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that I need to work hard to bear fruit. The Bible teaches that I just need to be connected to Jesus. I need to be abiding in Christ. I need to not move. And what's going to happen is I'm going to bear fruit automatically. And this is always my illustration on this. Love peaches. Once again, I've been out in my orchard with my peach tree. Love nectarines too. I'll use my nectarine tree. So I've been out in my orchard with my nectarine tree. I have you know, kind of cozied up right next to the nectarine tree. And I've even put my hand to my ear next to the nectarine tree because I want to hear if it's grunting. I want to look at it closely to see if it's sweating. You know, and a lot of times Christians' lives, they think that this is the way that you bear fruit. That what you do is you work really hard, and fruit comes out. And you never see that with a tree. All the tree does is sits right there where it is. It abides. It's not plucking itself up by the roots and walking away. It just abides in the ground. And what happens is it brings up the nutrients and the water and all the stuff that it needs, gets, you know, energy from the sun, photosynthesis, and that kind of stuff. And it does what comes naturally. Peach trees bear peaches. Nectarine trees bear nectarines. Apricot trees bear apricots or apricots, you know, whichever one you want to say. And they do it naturally. And that's what happens in a Christian's life when you're connected to Christ, when you're abiding in him, like he's talking about in this passage. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say, without me, you can do most things. And when it gets really hard, come and talk to me and I'll help you out. That's how a lot of Christians live their lives. It's without me, you can do nothing. And so whenever I'm looking at my life and I recognize that the fruit that's coming out of me isn't looking really good, I know what my problem is. And my problem is not that I'm not working hard enough. My problem is that I'm distant and I need to be tight with Jesus. And that's where I get my strength. That's where I get my life. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And this, again, is what you do. So if I'm trimming my grapevines or if I'm pruning my fruit trees, what I do is I take those branches, all the detritus that comes off these things, and I take it out and burn it. It's a straightforward illustration. And the reason is because it's worthless. You can't make anything out of this stuff, especially when you're talking about grapevines. You can take and cut off a grape branch, and it can be a big old branch from the vine. You cannot carve anything out of that. It does not look good. It's just a piece of junk after it's separated from the rest of the vine. And it's fit for nothing but being burned. Not even burned in your fireplace. It's not even going to put it off any heat at that point. In any case, they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Do you want to be that guy? Me neither. And so the answer is don't move. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And so Jesus talks about fruit. He talks about more fruit. He talks about much fruit. That's what my life is supposed to look like. And there is no reason not to have that. And again, Jesus is the one who talked about the issue of not abiding. and what would happen if a person does not abide. That's not something that was brought up by anybody else. It was brought up by Christ himself. And so again, when I'm going through my Bible, I don't want to dismiss specific passages where Jesus has clearly taught things. And so I have to abide in Christ. Now, does God help me to do that? Yeah, absolutely. It's part of fruit. And so if I'm close to Jesus, then I'm going to be abiding in Jesus. It's going to be kind of a circular thing that's going on. There's going to be more and more strength, more and more fruit. Just makes me want to abide all the more. And it's a very simple thing. If I'm not abiding in Christ, there is no hope for me. If I'm not abiding in Christ, there is no hope for me. And everybody doctrinally teaches that. Whether you're talking about Arminians, whether you're talking about Calvinists, or whether you're talking about, you know, Calminians, I'm a Calminian, or Calvary Chapelites, that kind of stuff. You know, I've got an illustration, actually, I just showed this to my staff, and I can't remember, did I talk to you about the guy in the pickup truck? I'm getting blank stares, so I must not have said that. Okay, so I got this illustration, I should have put it on here, about a guy in a pickup truck. And so, Calvinist, you got Jesus driving the pickup truck, and he's going along, and a Calvinist is in the back of the pickup truck, and the tailgate is up, and so the truck hits a bump, and so the Calvinist is jumbled around in the back of the truck, but because the tailgate is up, he doesn't fall out. Okay, and so he's good. Then you got an Arminian, and he's in the back of the pickup truck, and he's riding along, and the tailgate is down. And so Jesus hits a bump, and, you know, the truck hits a bump, and because the truck hit a bump, you bounce out, and so now you're outside of Jesus, you fell out of the truck and you're done, right? Okay. And so that's kind of the Arminian point of view. Here's the Calvary Chapel point of view. Get out of the back of the pickup truck and get into the cab. You get as close to Jesus as possible, and then you don't have to worry about it. And that again is what Scripture teaches about this stuff. You can't say that you have a walk with Christ when you're in disobedience, you're sinning against him, that kind of stuff. You see that in 1 John in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. You can't claim to be a follower of Christ and be in fellowship with him when you are in absolute rebellion against him. And again, there's no hope for a person who's in that situation except for being with Christ, for being tight with him. And so no matter what you look at in these things doctrinally, that's what it really gets down to. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. It goes, after you get past Corinthians and Romans, it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. And in chapter 2, again, it's another one of those passages that is a warning. And it's so it says in chapter 2, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And what's that word faith mean? It's trust. Okay? Your trust in Christ. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." So you see how that gels with everything else? It's always in Christ that we're safe. It's always in Christ that we grow. It's always in Christ that we're saved. It's in Jesus that these things become true, and you don't want to walk away from the Lord. And that's, again, why you have the warnings, again, in Hebrews chapter 2 and also throughout the rest of it. Paul, in 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, talked about believers being shipwrecked. And this goes right along with the whole idea of drifting away. That word in Greek for drifting away is the idea of you're floating alongside something and you just go off. It's not a right angle turn necessarily. You just drift off is the point that's being made there. And Paul talks about guys who were shipwrecked. He says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected, Specifically, they've rejected the faith and they've rejected a good conscience. These are guys who were walking in their flesh and refusing to continue with Christ. Having rejected faith and a good conscience, something which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so these were guys who apparently were continuing in the church even though they'd abandoned Christ. And Paul says, I delivered them to Satan. That means he kicked them out of church because of their sin, and specifically the sin was blasphemy. Later on, when you get to 2 Timothy in chapter 4, Alexander's mentioned again. And Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord repay him according to his works. Whenever you see the Bible talking about you getting repaid according to your works, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing, right? I don't want to be paid. I don't want to get my just wages. Even now, I've been a Christian for a long time. I don't want my just wages. I want the grace of God in my life. I want God to give me good things that I don't deserve. That's what grace means, right? And so, again, you have that. And so you have guys named in the Bible who've walked away from the Lord. And some of those guys were faithful for a long period of time, and they walked away. And so you can read some of those guys' names in 2 Timothy specifically. And so, again, it's a good warning to us. So back over to Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And so if angels' words were taken seriously, how much more Jesus' words should be taken seriously. Turn over to John chapter 3. There is no John 30. John chapter 3. And in that passage, John the Baptist is talking about Jesus. And in verse 30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so again, just talking about the importance of the words of Jesus. So Jesus is the true representative of God. He is the one that we need to be paying attention to. All of the Old Testament was pointing forward to Christ. And when Christ comes, the things that he says need to be taken into account more than what angels said, okay? And so in the Old Testament, angels were used in bringing the law to man. Galatians 3:19 says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That's in Galatians 3:19. In Acts 7:38, Stephen says, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.